This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. If you've ever played video games, even like a long time ago, you've almost certainly heard of Super Mario. Probably Sonic the Hedgehog, too. They sometimes even appear in games together nowadays. But back in the early 90s, their parent companies, Sega and Nintendo, were a whole lot less friendly toward each other. Blake Harris writes about the console wars between Sega and Nintendo in his new book called, appropriately enough, Console Wars. Blake, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Kai. I'm very excited to be here.
I'll tell you what, Sega and Nintendo, it sounds like a zillion years ago, man.
It was a long time ago, but you know what? It still lives with a lot of people my age and our parents who were forced to listen to us demanding and complaining for the latest and greatest Sega products. And it also, you know, aside from the personal standpoint, really created tons of ripples that evolved into what we have today, the modern video game industry.
And we will get there, but why don't you set the scene for me, set the stage. Back in the day when this book takes place, Sega and Nintendo were not exactly equals in the marketplace, shall we say.
No, there was some inequality in the marketplace. In 1989, Nintendo controlled over 90% of the market. It was just a staggering success. They were a juggernaut. And then there was Sega, which was fighting with a few other companies for that remaining 10% of the market, and they got absolutely whooped. Things weren't going well until Tom Kalinske took over and a certain blue hedgehog really changed their fortunes.
And therein lies the tale. And I'm not going to spoil it for people, but I will sort of get to the end of this book. In what, 5 years, he takes Sega from 5% of the market to 55% of the market before some unfortunate declines. But how does he do that? I mean, this is kind of an amazing come-from-nowhere story.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think of the video game industry, especially as a kid, it was just whoever makes the best games is going to win the console wars or is going to make products that I buy. But from a business standpoint, that's not how it works. Even if you have the best game ever, you have to find distribution for it. And Nintendo did such a wonderful job of controlling the distribution network so that companies like Sega were unable to get their products into retailers because they feared that they would anger Nintendo and lose some of the allocations. And one of the great examples was with Walmart, which was not willing to carry the Sega Genesis, regardless of whether it was a better system or a good, strong competitor. Tom Kalinske and his right-hand man, Shinobu Toyota, decided to open a Genesis store across the street from Walmart's headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, which offered the opportunity for people of all ages to play the Genesis for free. And when they wanted to buy it, they would go into Walmart and ask for the Genesis and find out, nope, it's not stocked here.
Cannot leave this topic without talking about Mario the Plumber and this hedgehog thing that Sega came up with, Sonic the Hedgehog. Perhaps the most unlikely corporate mascot ever, right, this hedgehog?
Yeah, I mean, I had never heard of a hedgehog before, and I was not alone. Neither had any of the executives at Sega. You know, if we go back to with Nintendo having 90% of the marketplace and Sega fighting for scraps, to take down Nintendo, they really wanted to create a Mario killer. And so they held an internal mascot contest, which resulted in rabbits, teddy bears, little weebly wobbly eggs. And the selection that won was this hedgehog that was called Mr. Needlemouse originally and became Sonic. Sega of America and Sega of Japan worked to take this game with this innovative, fast gameplay and turn it into a global icon. And if you look around today, Sonic is as pervasive as ever.
You know, it's interesting. You say Sonic is around, but Sega is kind of an afterthought. I mean, yes, you aficionados sort of know it, but in the wider world, Sega who?
As much as we all remember Sega as very successful on this big battle with Nintendo, Sega over here at one point did have 55 or 60% of the market, but in Japan it never really surpassed 25%. And so there was this very strange dynamic where the parent company that was making the majority of the games was not thriving, and this subsidiary run by Tom Kalinske was excelling and changing what video games were. And I think that there was enmity and jealousy and some spite at times, which led Sega to cutting off the nose to spite the face, and that spite really led to Sega's downfall.
It's a book called Console Wars about Sega and Nintendo back in the day. Blake Harris wrote it. Blake, thanks very much for your time.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
This is one of those stories that just takes you back, as I said. You can check out the vintage Sega Genesis ad that we've got on our website. It's marketplace.org.